about 3 minutes, and he was healed. He was supposed to go to Orlando on vacation, but the storm kept him from going there. His miracle, by the way, was not waiting at Orlando. His miracle was waiting in Virginia. His miracle was there, but he had to get there. And some of you, your miracle is waiting here. You need to get into the house. I'm going to play this, and I pray that it will be a great blessing to you. This is his testimony of how God recently healed him.
Williamsburg, you know, years ago I had sciatic in my both legs, going down both legs, and I couldn't hardly walk. I couldn't get around. I just had all kinds of problems. But anyway, had hip surgery, neck surgery, had a lot of things. God healed me through medicine. He's healed me instantaneously before, but he hadn't healed me like this in a long time. But we had gone, I carried my family to Williamsburg. We were supposed to go to Orlando, but instead we ended up in Williamsburg because of the hurricane. And we had been got there on Friday. We'd been walking. I walked as little as possible. I kind of pushed a stroller to help me walk and keep me upright. And it was on Thursday, and I was hurting so bad. We had walked down Old Williamsburg, and we were walking back. Most of my crew was ahead of me, and there was a few way back behind me. They had been looking at something, but there was this a bunch of people standing over in the road, and we were on the sidewalk behind them. I was pushing the stroller with all the pocketbooks and everything in it, and I heard him say, "In the name of Jesus." A man was leading them. I thought he was just a guide teaching them about the old part of Williamsburg, but I turned, and when he said, "In the name of Jesus," I stopped turning back around, and I was waiting to listen to him a minute. He said to them, I can't explain it, but God has blessed me with a gift. When I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus, he heals him. And he was giving two or three incidents. His name, I believe, was Jim Barker. And he said he couldn't understand it and know what it was, but God was healing people. One of the ladies, he was turned the other way, and he didn't see me. He didn't know I was standing behind him, but everybody else was standing in front of him looking back towards me. One of the ladies in the crowd said, "Come over here. He can heal you." And he said, "No, no, no. I can't heal anybody. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Jesus heals." He turned around, looked at me, and he said, "Are you hurting?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Can I pray for you?" I said, "Yes." I turned the thing loose and kind of hobbled over to him. And he turned around and he said, "Can I pray with you?" I said, "Yes." And he said a quick sentence prayer. And he said, "Can I touch your back?" And he did. I said, "Yes." And he touched my back, and I felt something pop.
Ooh,
and when it did, I stood up straight. The pain was gone. I couldn't believe it. A grin came across my face where I had been smirking. I could feel it on my face and up straight. And the pain was gone.
Hallelujah. Go and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The pain is gone. Glory to God. Amen. Go and praise him, I tell you. His miracle was not waiting in Orlando, Florida. His miracle was waiting in Williamsburg, Virginia. And that man had his miracle in his hand. Your miracle may be waiting here at Westmoreland. We invite you to come out and be with us. Also, those that are here today in attendance, keep coming back. If you have not gotten a complete manifestation of your miracle yet, keep believing God. Your miracle is on the way. Faith may not have arrived yet, but faith is on the way. And if you can believe, you can touch the Lord Jesus. I want us to stand, make our confession of faith, because I want you to get this in you. I'm going to preach a message this morning, put a demand on the anointing. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, say, my family will never be the same either. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if you would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, I want to talk to you on the subject, put a demand on the anointing. You've got to put a demand on the anointing that's in the house. That's how you get things from God. You've got to reach out, you've got to reach up, and you've got to touch Jesus and put a demand that's flowing out of the Master. In my text, Jesus has been up in the mountains, and he has been praying all night, and he's anointed. And he and his disciples, they come down to where the people are. Look at Luke 6 and 17. It says, and he came down with them and stood in the plains, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They came to hear him and to be healed of their disease. Notice, they came to hear the Master, and they came to him to be healed of their disease. Verse 18, and they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Healing is for all. Healing is for you. And if you are under the sound of my voice, and if you're here today, I'm anointed, and I'm anointed to preach, and I'm anointed to pray for the sick. And if you'll come and put a demand on the anointing, you will get your miracle. I want you to notice that these people, they put a demand on the anointing that was in Jesus. They came to hear him preach and to be healed of their disease. They came with expectation. They did not just come to some denominational church. They did not come to some religious gathering. They came to Jesus. And that's what you must do if you want to tap into the anointing that's on Jesus. I am anointed, but he's the healer. I'm anointed to preach, but he's the great preacher. I'm anointed to teach, but he's the great teacher. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, they had a high priest, but Jesus is the great high priest, and he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When you hurt, he knows it. When you have a need, he realizes that. And he is here in this house, the Jesus of the Bible, to meet your need. And if you reach out and reach up, praise God, you can touch him. Some of these people, they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. The whole multitude sought to touch him because he was anointed. Power was flowing out of Jesus. And this crowd, they were there to receive their miracle. I think so many times we come and we leave like we came simply because we don't put a demand on the anointing that's in the house. But the key to the miracle and the key to your need being met is to understand how to put a demand on the anointing that's in the house. Now, that word demand means to ask for boldly or to ask for urgently, that you're in a state where you just have a need that you can't even describe to people. That word, it means to stake a claim. Demand means to ask for urgently, to stake a claim, and to ask for something boldly. See, these people, they tapped into the supply that was in Jesus. And that's what we must do if we're going to experience our healings, our miracles, and our deliverance. If there is no demand placed on the anointing, guess what? Nothing will happen. If I'm preaching and the anointing is on me, it's your responsibility to place a demand on the anointing. You can be saved. You can be healed. You can be delivered while I am preaching or while someone is singing under the anointing. Hallelujah. The anointing destroys the yoke, but you've got to put a demand on the anointing. Don't sit back like a knot on the log. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. You can't think of praise. You've got to open your mouth. You got to sing unto God. I can't carry a tune. That doesn't matter. Sing real softly. Don't offend your neighbor. Just sing unto God out of all your heart. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil take your blessing. Sing unto the Lord. Shout aloud in the house of God with the voice of triumph. Put a demand on the anointing and draw out from the spirit world. Hallelujah. See, this whole multitude sought to touch him because Jesus is the anointed one. And he was anointed. See, you've got to stake your claim. You've got to reach up to God. And you've got to do that when the anointing is flowing in the house. And it's flowing here right now. Hallelujah. And if you ever learn to do that, you will be the one that's getting miracles while everybody else is crowding around. See, if they had not sought to touch Jesus, they would not have gotten their miracle. The key to your miracle, one of the major keys, is to place a demand on the anointing that's in Jesus. When the master speaks to you, you should realize my sins are under the blood. When the master speaks to you, you should understand he's talking to me. He's calling my name. He loves me. And if I'll reach up to him, he'll reach down to me and I can tap in to the anointing that's on Jesus. Somebody go and praise the Lord if you know what I'm talking about. Somebody give him a hallelujah. Somebody give him some glories. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the key is to put a demand on that anointing. Now, listen to me. I'm a businessman. The greater the demand, the greater the supply. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the Bible says he is no respect of person. And there has never been a day of miracles. There is a God of miracles. And when the anointing is flowing, that's the time for you to tap into it and to get your miracle. Listen to me. If there is no demand, there is no supply. And that's how it is in the natural world. There's a law that's called the law of supply and demand. If there is no demand, there will be no supply. If there's no demand for drugs, guess what? There will be no drug suppliers. If there is no demand for tobacco, there will be no tobacco suppliers. If there's no demand for alcohol, guess what? There will be no bars and no ABC stores. I curse them when I ride by. I said, I curse them. Somebody said, there are too many churches. I said, no. There are too many bars in our nation. We need more churches. We need more people that are tap into the resources of God. We need to reach out, hallelujah, to the El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. We need to reach up to the Most High, hallelujah. He's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's my testimony. If that's your testimony, go on, praise him, hallelujah, to the Lamb. Glory to God. If there's no demand for gasoline, guess what? There would be no supply. And if there's no demand for the move of God and the power and the Spirit of God, there will be absolutely no supply. It's all supply according to demand. And the greater the demand, the greater the supply. The more that a church expects, and the more that a church puts a demand on the anointing, the more that church will experience. He's not just going to touch you because you have a need. Amen. I don't know how many times Brother Tony Ward had prayed and called out to God. God had a miracle for him. I remember when I was pastoring the old church, a lady came by and she said, I rode past your church, and she was headed to one of our churches. Matter of fact, I'm standing in the pulpit, and you weren't the pastor at the time. Hallelujah. And she said, the Holy Ghost spoke to her and says, go back to Westmoreland. I have something for you there. She said, but Lord, I'm headed to church. The Holy Ghost said, go back to Westmoreland. I have something for you there. She said, but Lord, I'm going to my church. A third time, the Holy Ghost said, go back to Westmoreland. I have something for you there. She said, I turned my car around. I came and I sit on the near the back pew. And while you were preaching, the power of God hit me and I was healed instantly. She said, go and praise God. She said, I came to my church and I told the people what God had said. They said, we don't believe that. We just don't believe God works like that. Well, let me tell you something. That's exactly how God works. You've got to get where the anointing is. And once you get there, you got to tap into it. And once you tap into it, you got to reach out. Then you got to reach up to God with all your heart. And you got to say, God, I'm here for my miracle. I know you're in control. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. You see, nothing comes down until something goes up. If you don't send up your praise and your glories and your thank you, Jesus, you're not going to get a whole lot, even though the anointing is flowing. The Bible says, ask for rain in the time of rain. Well, what in the world does that mean, Pastor? It means that if it's raining in the house, you've got to ask for rain in the time the rain is falling. Hallelujah. If you don't ask for the rain, you don't get the rain, even though the rain is falling. If you don't ask for the healing, you don't get for the healing, even though the healing is in the house. You got to put a demand on the anointing. Hallelujah. I preached in some churches where there was no demand for the anointing. The people just sat there. They just sat there and looked at me. The pastor sat there with his arms folded. I preached 6 sermons in that place. Now, last night I was there, I preached a sermon on from the island to the altar. And he got up and he said, I'm the man on the island. He came forward. God healed his son of leukemia. He's still healed to this day. God saved the soul of man that was lost way up in his life, about to leave this world. God saved him. Revival broke out in that place. And we had church. Glory to God. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then I've gone to churches and preached where there's such a demand that they just pull the anointing out of you. And that's real Pentecostal worship, by the way. That's when the pew and the pulpit, they begin to flow together. And I get my paint and I get your paint flowing in the house, and you start praising God and you get your paint flowing. Pretty soon we got a river. The river of God is flowing, and the anointing that destroys the yoke is in the house, and you can tap into that river. Everywhere that river flowed that Ezekiel saw, praise God, that was life, that was healing, that was glory, that was power. And there's a river of the Holy Ghost that's flowing at Westmoreland. Tap into it. Reach up. Stand up and say, God, I'm here to get my healing. My body hurts. I'm aching. I've got pain. But God, I'm healed. And I praise you. Hallelujah. That's right. Go on, praise him. Praise him for your healing. Praise him. Glory to God. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. See, when the pulpit and the pew start flowing together, they send up some glories and some hallelujahs just like you did. And all of a sudden, the anointing is pulled out of the singers. The anointing is pulled out of the piano. The anointing is pulled out of the preacher. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost comes down in great power, in great glory, and miracles and signs and wonders, they begin to happen in the midst of the people. And the key to it is not to have some great preacher in the pulpit. Let me say that again. The key to it is not to have some great preacher in the pulpit. The key is, if there is a demand placed on the anointing, the supply will show up from the Spirit of God. The supply doesn't come from the preacher. The supply comes from the Most High God. He uses anointed vessels. He flows in and then he flows out. Praise God. And he'll use you and he'll use your neighbor. He'll use anybody. I read where he used a donkey to talk to one man. He used a rooster to talk to another one. He had a worm talk to Jonah and a whale. I said, God, if you can speak through those animals, praise God, I believe you can speak through my mouth. I believe he can preach through you. I believe he can preach through a willing vessel. He said, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but some of wood and some of clay, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man will therefore purge himself from these, from the things of sin, from the things of dishonor, he will be a vessel unto God, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Hallelujah. Don't you want to live like that? Don't you want to die like that? Don't you want your life to make a mark in somebody else's life? Then tap into God. Tap into him with all your heart. and watch God move. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I'm just waiting for something to happen. If that's the case, you're going to be waiting forever, because nothing will happen in your life. Remember blind Bartimaeus on the roadside? He's begging. And Jesus comes by. And blind Bartimaeus, he cried out, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd rebuked him. Yes, they did. The Bible says he cried a little louder. "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." Sometimes you just got to cry out. Hallelujah. You know what blind Bartimaeus was doing? He was putting a demand on the anointing that was in Jesus, and he was staking his claim. The crowd said, "Shut up, shut up, be quiet, you old beggar." He said, "No, that's the supply of the Spirit in that man, hallelujah. And I'm going to tap into it, and I'm going to get my miracle. This is my chance, this is my moment. I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to cry out to the Master, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Mercy means I'm messed up. Mercy means I can't do it myself. Mercy means I've tried everything. But God, please have mercy on me. Glory to God. See, that was the supply of the Spirit in Jesus. That's what stopped Jesus. This man was desperate, and he was crying out to the Master. That was his chance. That was his miracle moment. And he tapped into the supply that was in Jesus. Jesus is here. It's up to you. It's up to me to tap into the supply. And how do you do that? By praising him. By worshiping him. By thanking him. By getting an attitude of gratitude for what he's already done for you. I know we go through hard places. People are sighing, they're crying, they're dying, they're hurting, they're groaning, they're moaning. And that's what we're about here at Westmoreland. Amen. We're about taking the everlasting gospel to people who are hurting, to the outcasts, to those who have no answer. Well, we have the answer. His name is Jesus. And we are a church of all races, all colors, and all creeds. And everybody is welcome to come here to Westmoreland. There are no big I's and little U's. You're important to God. God gave his son Jesus on the cross for you, and God cares about you. The anointing is here, and we see people heal again and again and again. So come and put a demand on the anointing. Now, Jesus announced his mission to the world over 2,000 years ago. And it's found in Luke 4 and 18. If you'll put that up on the screen, Luke 4 and 18. Jesus is in his own hometown. He's preaching. He's anointed. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus was saying, there is a supply inside of me to meet your every need. Jesus said, "I'm anointed to preach." Jesus said, "I'm sent to heal. I'm here to preach deliverance. I'm here to open blinded eyes. I'm ready to release the oppressed. I'm here to proclaim the Lord's favor upon your life." Jesus said, "There's a supply inside of me, so stake your claim and draw the anointing out of me." You got to draw it. You got to pull it out of the spirit world. Hallelujah. Now, I've had some great people lay hands on me. J.R. Eason, a great Church of God preacher, laid his hands on me to anoint me. J. Floyd Williams, one of our former bishops, he laid his hand upon me to anoint me with the anointing that was on his life. Bishop James Leggett recently laid his hands upon Pastor Ricky Nelms and myself to release the anointing into our lives. My mother and my daddy, my parents were filled with the Holy Ghost when I was born. And I got on my knees before them one day and I said, you're anointed. I know you're anointed. Pass that anointing on to me. And some other great saints of God, full of the Spirit of God, I've had them lay their hands upon me because I don't know how I knew it, but I knew that there was a tangibility to the Spirit. I know it now, but I figured it out. Nobody told me that. I just said, they're anointed, and I want what they got. And I tapped into it, hallelujah, and as they laid their hands upon me. See, there's a tangibility to the Spirit, and sometimes I feel him in my hands. Sometimes I feel him in my feet. Sometimes I feel him all over me. But it's up to me to stir up the gifts. And it's up to you to stir up what's down inside of you. Stir up the Spirit man. Let him rise, praise God. Let the anointing rise. Get free, praise God. And let your Spirit man, Ramoko Shanda, Rishabo Hoshata, Ramoko Shalebehalebo Hoshata, and start praising God from your spirit. Start praising God in the Holy Ghost. You'll get healed and you'll get miracles and things will show up in your life. God will save your children. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But we've not received the spirit of the world again to bondage, but we receive the Spirit of God that we may know the things that are freely. I said freely. I said freely. Freely given of God. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've got a supply of the Spirit in me. You've got a supply of the Spirit in you, but you got to put a demand on that supply, and you got to stake your claim. Now, I want you to notice what happened when Jesus announced his mission. Now, even though the anointing was on him, even though there was a reservoir of the supply of the anointing, that was a supply for healing. That was a supply for deliverance. That was a supply for salvation. But he's in his own hometown, and he can do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Isn't that something? It sounds like some of our churches, doesn't it? Amen. There's no demand. There's no praise. Oh, they just sit there. They're dead. You want to talk about something dead? Go to a Pentecostal church. There's nothing any deader than a dead Pentecostal church. But if you want something alive, praise God, the Word of God is living, quick, and alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and the marrow. It'll get right down in your joint. It'll heal you from the joints, praise God. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And God knows if you got a praise. God knows if you got a hallelujah. God knows if you're going to serve him. God knows what you're going to do when he gives you that miracle. So tap into it and say, God, I'm yours. Spirit, soul, body, I'm yours. I'll not withhold anything from you. God, thank you for my miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you would have thought that the people in Jesus' hometown, that they would have put a demand there. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he walks into Nazareth, and he's already told them, I'm anointed. There's anointing in me, he said. So put a demand on the anointing. And if you're blind, you'll see. If you're brokenhearted, you'll get healed. If you're bound, you'll come out of that prison. Jesus said, put on demand on the anointing that is in me. And the Bible says they wouldn't do it. They just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And people sit in the church like it. I say, open your mouth and praise God. They can't do it. You got lockjaw. I say, open your mouth and sing. Pastor Ricky says, lift your hands and praise the Lord. And they stand there just like that. Dear God in heaven, I believe if God is saying, praise me, I'm using Pastor Ricky Nelm's lips to say it. I believe when God says, you know, reach up and shout and sing, I believe he's using my mouth when I tell you that. I believe he's trying to create a throne zone. He's trying to get you into an atmosphere that you can get your miracle. Jesus said, I'm anointed, but they wouldn't put a demand on it. But look at what happened to the woman with the issue of blood. I love to tell these stories. Jesus said, "Lady, woman, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." Something pulled the anointing out of Jesus, and it was her faith. What was her faith based on? It was based on the word of God. Malachi the prophet, the man of God. He said, "The Son of Man, the Son of God shall arise with healing in his wing." She said, "If I can just get down and touch, if I can just touch, if I can just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." I want you to notice she never touched Jesus. She touched something that was in touch with Jesus. And that's how you get your miracles. You touch something or somebody that's in touch with Jesus. It could be the preacher. It could be your mama. It could be your daddy. It could be a man standing by the wayside up there in Williamsburg, Virginia. Said, "I have a gift. I don't understand it, but when I pray for people, they get healed." Take the limits off of God and reach up and reach out. God is willing. Are you willing to reach out to him in faith? Hallelujah. Listen to me. And when you put a demand on the anointing, you draw out the power of God. But you can't be passive. You cannot be apathetic or unmoved and expect to receive anything from God. You have got to have an active faith, because faith without works is what? Is dead. You must have a faith that puts a demand on the anointing. You got to reach out to God, and you got to stake your claim. You got to say, "I wasn't meant to live here. I wasn't meant to live in the low places. God didn't design me to stay here. I'm not staying here. I'm making my way to church. I'm going to where the anointing is, and I'm going to get my miracle from God." And the more you place a demand on God, the greater the supply will be. Now, I want you to look at Acts chapter 5, because we always want to relegate these miracles to Jesus. But Jesus said, "The works I do shall you do also, and the greater works shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. When I get there, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to anoint you." How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed the pastor, the preacher, with the Holy Ghost and with power. And the preacher went about doing good. And the preacher was casting out devils. And the preacher was healing the sick. And the preacher was raising up. We had a testimony today. One of our men that raised the dead. Amen. A person had died. He told it in Sunday school. And Brother Billy Lewis. And there was a bunch of paramedics in there. He said, "Let's join hands and pray for this person." Amen. I hope I get the story right. And while they were praying, the woman sat up in the bed that already pronounced the dead. She sat up in the bed. An angel appeared at the foot of her bed. And she said, "What are y'all doing in here?" She was healed instantly. Go on, praise God. Is it beyond God to raise the dead? No. Hallelujah. God can do anything. Put a demand on the anointing. Look at Acts 5:14. "And the believers were added the more to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Insomuch," look at that, "insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street." Sound like Williamsburg. "In the street, and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." Now that's great faith. That's real expectation there. Look at Acts 5:16. "There came a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing the sick folks, them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them." I want the world out there to know there's an anointing in Westmoreland. And if you're sick, you come here. We'll pray for you. God will heal you. We have it happen all the time. If you're bound by the devil, you come. If you're captive, we'll cast the devil out of you, set you free, so you can live your life the way God intended for you to live your life. Don't get hooked on drugs. If you are, come here. If you're hooked on doctors, drugs, praise God, come get off of those too. The devil will give you a Mickey Finn any way he can slip it to you. Just get full of God. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get full of power. Use doctor's medication when you have to. But if you don't have to, praise God, then take some gospels and keep taking the gospels. Keep on taking the gospels. Keep on eating the word of God. Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called. Are you called? I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, these people place a demand on the anointing that was in Simon Peter. And so much so, they said, well, we'll just lay him out down the street. And if his shadow touches them, they'll be healed. Now, Mark chapter 2, Jesus is Capernaum. He's preaching. And the house was full. Do you want to know why the house was full? The house was filled because the people came to the house, the cottage prayer meeting, where Jesus was with expectation. Amen. The Bible says it was so full that these four men that wanted to get their friend in there couldn't even get in the house. And the Bible says that as Jesus taught the word of God, that these four men went up on the roof and tore the roof off of that place. And they lowered this sick man down to where Jesus was preaching, and they interrupted his sermon. They were putting a demand on the anointing. They were staking their claim. If these men had not done what they had done, guess what? The story would not even be in the Bible. But God has put stories in the Bible. He's put different stories. And he chose what would go into the Bible. Said if the world, if the labors of the world could not contain all the things that Jesus had done. But these things are written. They're written for you. So that you may believe, and by believing, you might receive everlasting life. And by believing, you might receive the miracle working power of God. Hallelujah. We keep saying, well, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. And when God's ready, God will heal me. That's a lie from hell. My Bible says that my Father will not withhold any good gift from me. God is ready to save you if you're lost. God is ready to heal you if you are sick. And anytime you put a demand on the anointing, the miracles begin to flow. Well, I still feel the pain. Well, praise God, the word of God says you're healed. By whose stripes you were healed. Oh, it still hurts. Well, you got to get beyond the natural and you got to tap into the anointing that's flowing from the spirit world. And you got to draw it out and you got to pull it out with your faith. And you got to reach up and you got to reach out to God. And if you got a passive faith, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But when all you can do is look up to see the bottom, praise God. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Jesus is the I am, and he's waiting for somebody to put a demand on the anointing, and when they do, the supply will begin to flow. Let me tell you something. Our God is more than enough. He's not limited. He's not about to run out of miracles. He's not about to run out of blessings. He's more than enough. It's up to us to stake our claim. One last example, and I'm going to stop. I never finish. I just stop. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4. Jesus is preaching. Look at what the master said. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when famine was great throughout the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the days of Elisha, the prophet, And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Do you know what Jesus is saying? God is saying there's a whole lot of widows that were living during that day, but only one of them put a demand on the anointing that was in the prophet. And only one of them got a supply. When that woman took that handful of meal and she gave it to the prophet, she put a demand on the anointing. And Jesus said there were many people dying of leprosy during the days of Naaman. But he's the only one, Naaman, that got healed. Why? Because he put a demand on the anointing. This man came all the way from Syria. Some of you watching by live stream, you need to make your way to Westmoreland. Hallelujah. This man knew where the prophet was. He knew where the anointing was. A little girl that they had captured said, I wish that you were in Israel. Said, there's a man of God there. He's anointed. And you don't have to die in that leprosy. You don't have to die in that awful condition. Why, you can go where the anointing is flowing and you can get a miracle from God. Amen. This man had some radical faith, but he got upset at the prophet because the prophet sent his servant out to meet him. And he got so mad, he went away, but he recovered in his faith and he came back and he put a demand on the anointing. And he dipped in that muddy Jordan River 7 times according to the word of the prophet. And when he did, he was healed. Now let me help some of you. I need to help some religious people right here. Sometimes God will give a prophet a word for you, just like he did Naaman. And he did that because he had to deal with an issue that was in Naaman's heart before the anointing could begin to flow. See, Naaman, he repented. He obeyed. He acted on the word of God, and he pulled the anointing out, praise God. And when he did, when he pulled it out of the spirit world, praise God, he was healed instantly. See, God is not moved just because we have a need. But it's when you put a demand on the anointing, that's when God begins to move for you. The problem is not with the anointing. The anointing is in the house, hallelujah. The problem is people sit back and say, woo, I got goosebumps. Woo, I got bumps all over me. I feel God. The anointing is in this place. Woo! Isn't this great? Isn't this something wonderful? Woo! Listen to me. Some of you never come to the altar. That's a rebuke. I said some of you never come to the altar. But Pastor, what good does that do? That helps you to release your faith. That helps you to put a demand on the anointing. That helps you to put your faith in action. I mean, I'm soaking wet. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm sweating profusely. I preach my heart out to get you into his presence. I study my heart out. I pray my heart out. I fast and pray. I seek God. So when you come to the house of God, there'll be some anointing in the house. There'll be something on the plate so you can activate your faith and reach out to God and get your miracle. Hallelujah. Come on, Pastor Ricky, so I can stop. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The anointing is here. He's here to save the lost. He's here to heal the sick. He's here to deliver the oppressed. He's here to break poverty off of your life. He's here to deliver you from the powers of darkness. Yes. The Holy Ghost is not some playboy to tickle your fancy. He's a worker, yes, and he's on a mission, praise God. And God is looking for people that will pull the anointing out of the spirit world. He said, I am able to do exceeding, yes, abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, according to the power that's working in you.
Amen, yes.
God said, I'll make your dreams come true. God said, I'll save your family. God said, I'll heal your body. He said, I'll supply your every need. He said, I'll make your children live right, even if they don't want to. I'll bless you going out, and I'll bless you coming in. So, church, obey the Lord. Put a demand on the anointing. If you're lost, I want you to be the first one in this altar. Don't go out those back doors. You need miracles. All of you need miracles. Get into the house. Stay in the house. Stay under the anointing. Let us stand. You need salvation if you're watching by live stream. Everybody, come on to the altar. I want to pray this with you. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge my sin. I want you to save me, Lord Jesus. I've broken your commandments. I have sinned. And I need a change in my life. I cannot break this chain. I cannot break this bondage myself. But Jesus, I believe in your blood. I believe you are my sin substitute.
Hallelujah.
I believe you will heal me. And Jesus, I'm coming to you. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. Flush out all the filth. Wash me in your blood. Break every chain, Lord. Come into my heart. I receive you. I thank you that I'm saved. I thank you that I'm a new creation in Christ. Come on in tight so everybody can get in. Come on into the altar. Hallelujah. Come in tight. Hallelujah.
Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him.
Hallelujah. Reach up. Reach out. Tap into the source. Jesus is the source. Talk to him. Tell him about your problems. Tell him about your need. Tell him where you're hurting. Tell him about that broken life and that broken home and those broken pieces and fragmented lives. Tell him. Talk to the Master. Master Jesus, have mercy. On me. Have mercy.
He is here. Listen
closely. He's calling out your name. Can you hear him? Martha, Teresa, Kathy, Karen, Cal, Tony, John, Philip, Elon. Hallelujah.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy.
I bless you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you for my miracle. I thank you for washing my sins away. I thank you for your joy. I thank you for your peace. Glory to God. I command depression. Go! Let it go. 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 I said be free. Woo! Glory.